all you cool kids. Welcome back to 20-somethings. My name is Emily Marquardt.
And I am the fifth member of Big Time Rush, Sam Harmon.
That one.
That's okay. I just thought of it.
That was fantastic. So, Sam, what are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about my thesis so I can get a master's degree. No, we're talking about minimalism versus materialism, luxury versus less, what we see in the world today.
So what is minimalism?
Yeah, so minimalism is a topic I'm very familiar with. It's something that, as Emily and my friendship has grown, we've both kind of adopted different habits that we both have for minimalism. Minimalism is living with less. That's kind of the big overarching theme. It's living with less, but it's not about living with nothing. I think there's like this there's this incorrect idea that it's like living in like a white room with white walls and just a mattress and a teacup on the floor. And then you wear the same socks every day and that's it. Like, it's not that at all. It's just about being conscious about what you buy, living with less, and being able to define what truly matters to you and makes you happy versus materialism, which is being obsessed with things that mostly used to kind of show off to other people.
Right. And I'm glad that we both have our two different views on minimalism, or not necessarily views, but like our points in time, our progress with it. Because you started the minimalism journey before me and then introduced it to me. So I'm still, you know, trying to figure out what it means to me. And I feel like you're further along with that. So it's nice that we have our two different perspectives.
Definitely. Which actually kind of leads me to a question. What is your specific journey with not just even minimalism, but with like living with less now that you are an adult with your own apartment? What's kind of your personal view on it?
Can I bring up Marie Kondo?
Of course.
Okay. Well,
love that woman.
Marie Kondo, a wonderful woman. Her show, if you don't know about it, on Netflix, is a wonderful show that kind of focuses on the idea of keeping things that spark joy and giving away things that don't. And for me, I had to really take a look at things that I surrounded myself with and saying, like, does this actually make me happy? Or did I just like buy it on a whim, or it was a gift that I'm never going to use and I'm just like keeping it for no reason? So her view on living with less things has helped me see the things around me and making sure that they serve a purpose to me instead of just, you know, buying things because I think I need it. That's kind of my take on the whole minimalism thing. Cause I do like my things.
Yeah.
But I've definitely like shrunk my piles of just like random things. Like, you
concentrated like what you want.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I don't need 10 lotions. Why do I have 10 bottles of lotion? I could do fine with just maybe like one or two.
I feel like as girls, the one thing we get each other, and we should know this as girls, that we don't want is like Bath and Body Works fragrance sprays, body washes, and lotions. We don't use them. Like, so I do know some people are like big into hand sanitizers and lotions, but like, it's not, I don't want it.
Right. And we don't go through them fast enough where getting them so often is a need, you know?
Yeah. And I also really liked what you said about wanting your stuff to have purpose.
Yeah.
That I think is where minimalism really, that's like a really good way to sum up like the things I buy, the things that I want, the things that I need are things with purpose to them. And that purpose can be to make you happy.
Right.
But not everything is going to make you happy long term. My journey with minimalism is a little bit more, I guess the word is intense, I could use, than Emily's, just because I am in it. I am like in it. I woke up one morning about 2 years ago and I was having like a really hard time breathing and I was having a panic attack. And I got up and I looked around my room. It was clean and everything, but there was just stuff. So like 3 a.m, I got a bunch of trash bags. I just started putting stuff in it. Like, I don't need this. I don't use this. I don't want it. I don't know what brought that on, but after I did it, a lot of anxiety was lifted. I think, you know, clutter can kind of cause a lot of anxiety too. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it like really changed my life and how I do not like buying things that I don't need. I'm not a big splurger. I'm not someone who says, oh, well, why not? You could always use another. Like, that's not really me as a person. I'm very much like, I have, you know, 3 pairs of jeans, 1 in each color. I have, you know, 1 white shirt, 1 black shirt, like that kind of thing. And, you know, I still have dresses and things that I feel confident and pretty in. And I wear makeup and things like that. But I just live a very limited, purposeful kind of buying and using and things like that. I do have another question for you because this is a more recent change for you as well.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, we are at 2 different stages in our minimalism. What is it like? Because you've traveled with me, mm-hmm. you've, you know, stayed with me a lot. You've been around me. A lot of people know we live 2 feet away from each other now.
We go shopping together.
You're pretty much the only person I shop with, like, ever.
Mm.
What is it like being friends with someone who is a minimalist to my extreme when you yourself are not that kind of extreme?
Mm. I feel like I have a better understanding of what it is, and it kind of, like, helped me kind of dip my toe in the water to the idea of minimalism. I think I like it a lot, and I don't know that I'll be able to live a true minimalistic life based off of my personality, but I really respect it. And I think just seeing the way that you go about your just like overall spending habits makes me more conscious of my own spending habits and makes me more responsible. Like every time we're out, you're like, is this a need or is it a want? And then you like go through this whole thing and you're like, somewhere in the middle, I don't know. And then you put it back like 9 times out of 10. And I think that's a really good conversation to have with yourself, whether you're like practicing minimalism or not.
Oh yeah.
Just because everything is readily available to us and it looks colorful and pretty and smells good doesn't mean that we actually need to buy it on an impulse, because we are so able to do that right now. So I think if anything, you just helped me with my finances more than anything, because I take a second to think things through because I see you do it.
Let me give you an opportunity to roast me. because I know for a fact, because my mother and other people have also illuminated this for me too. And I know this is the case. Is there something that kind of annoys you? Not necessarily like in like an, oh my God, this bitch again kind of way, but like, is there something that you find that's like, you think is maybe like a bit annoying or like unrealistic, I think is the better term, that in the way that I'm a minimalist, that, do you know what I'm trying to say? Like is there something about it where you're like, bitch, really, just get the shirt. Like, you know what I mean? You can be, I'm not gonna be mad. You know, I won't be mad.
I think if we're just like zeroing in on like a like girls at the mall shopping experience, yeah. I feel like there's more thinking involved. And sometimes when people go out and they just go shop, it's like you want to get like cute clothes and just do it for the experience of shopping, which is kind of ironic because the minimalism helps you have more experiences and less things.
Yeah.
But in my mind, shopping to me is kind of an experience. Yeah. And so I kind of like the ability to go in and say like, I really like this. And it's like, that's it. That's why I'm getting it. Cause I like it, and not, you know, because I need it. So I guess in that sense, sometimes I'm like, oh, like, why is she like making me think about these things? I don't want to think. Yeah. I just want to buy.
Yeah.
But that would be like my only thing. Yeah.
Cause I do, I'm super conscious of it too. Cause like the last thing I want to do is ruin people's experiences, but there are people in my life that will not go shopping with me anymore. Not because I'm sitting there being like, do you need it? I when they wear it, and if they're iffy, or if they're holding something up and they're iffy, I start asking those questions.
Yes.
And
yes.
I say, okay, well, where are you going to wear it? Are you going to use it? How much is it? What's your budget for today? Yes. Like, I ask those questions not to be an asshole, even though sometimes they come off like that. Again, it's not It's not purposeful, but it's mostly because I used to spend money like nobody's business because I was super insecure. And I'd be like, oh, if I just buy this, I'll be more insecure or I'll be more secure again and things like that. Right. And it's not really the case. So I just, but I know it's a habit that I almost am over intense on it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So that I make sure that I'm practicing it. I do. I love it too. When my friends are like, dude, shut up. Like, I don't care. I like it. And I'm like, okay, cool. Chase your bliss. If it makes you happy, do it. 100%. But I am that girl who's in the changing room. Cause Emily and I just went shopping for, we're both teachers and we both went shopping for school stuff. I got nothing. but that's just because I teach at a college. So I get to be a little bit more casual with my dress. Emily teaches, in a more kind of socially confined type of situation where there's like a much stricter dress code and everything like that. So we went shopping and she would try stuff on and like, if I could see it in your face that you were iffy, I was asking those questions.
Right. Exactly.
And I know sometimes it's not helpful to do that.
I see where you're coming from and I've never seen it as a nuisance. Mm. I guess that's why we still go shopping together because I don't see it that way. And if I know truly that I really like something and I want it, there's, you know, you can ask me your questions and I'll answer you honestly, but then I'll say at the end of it, I'll just be like, I really like this. And then you'll be like, great, get it. Yeah. I never feel like you're shaming me or like making, pushing me one direction or the other. Good. I think you ask good questions and, you know, help me really understand why I'm getting something and if it's for the right reason. And I think that's important to ask yourself, you know, as a young 20s, up and coming, working, renting woman, you know, because like, why blow all of your money on clothes and then afterwards be like, wait, I didn't really think this through and now I have no money, you know?
Yeah. And I think one of the valuable things that Emily's taught me in this is that exact lesson is, you know, she's looked at me before and been like, but do you like it? Like, do you want
it? Right. Cause like, you'll say like, this is really durable because I could use it for all of these uses. Yeah. And it's like, okay, so yes, it's serving a need, but do you like it?
You know?
How does it make you feel?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of where she and I differ with that kind of thing. But it's helpful to me too, where like, if it does come down to something, like I can't choose a color for shit. If it's two things that look good on that I'm comfortable in and I'm confident in, and I think they look good on me, I won't be able to choose which one because I don't really know which one makes me happier. And Emily's the person I can say like, which one?
Yes.
And she'll be like, oh, that color is way better for your skin tone. I'm like, great. Cause like that I can't do.
Right.
That I don't have the capacity to do. I know, like I can dress myself. Like I'm all right. I can put together a cute outfit, but when it comes to like shopping and I'm like, oh yeah, this shirt I can wear with a bunch of different things, but it comes in, you know, this shade of blue and this shade of blue. I don't know which one's going to look better.
Right. And you're only going to get one of them.
I'm only going to get one. I will not get both. You need someone like Emily to be like, okay, well, let's look at like the other parts of it. It's not just about its use. It's about
like what colors do you have in your closet already? Or is it a color that makes you feel good?
Yeah.
Because there are a few earth tones that you really like that you're drawn to.
Forest green, burgundy, baby. Everything I own is forest green or burgundy or gray. So, and that's the other thing too, is you have to have your friends with you so they can be like, yeah, dude, like, and any dude who's like, oh, I don't know. Like guys do this too. I've been sneaker shopping with dudes before and it's like, bro, should I get like the high top Nikes with like the black Nike swoosh or the white Nike swoosh? Because like, I don't know which one's going to stay cleaner. And like the shoe polish I have is not going to like, they think about it way more. So if you're like, I get the shopping experience. Yeah, you do. I know you do. I know you 100% do. I know you all went prom shopping together. Don't even say a word. But yeah, it's one of those things. I think minimalism as a lifestyle, there are kind of three main benefits that, I've found in that I've found through other, you know, resources and stuff like that. The three of them being it saves you money, it's better for the environment, and it's more likely to cause something called intrinsic happiness. For those who don't know, intrinsic happiness is the happiness that you feel like deep inside, that warm, glowy happiness. Emily's doing like a lot of like hugging and beautiful hand motions right now of just like that intrinsic, that inner feeling of happiness instead of like, oh, this is like
from external things.
Yeah, external things. So say someone said I looked good and I'm going to run on that energy for the next 5 minutes and then I'm going to feel horrible again. Like intrinsic happiness is doing things that will make you happy when you think back on them, when you think about how you're going to do them in the future and they make you happy in the right now. Mm-hmm. I definitely think that kind of my favorite thing to do if we're going shopping is to go on the save a few money kind of point. Savers and Goodwill. Mm-hmm. If you're someone who likes labels and stuff, like I've found some great finds at Savers and Goodwill, Salvation Army, all those places. Like you can find furniture. Where did you get your coffee table?
Savers.
Right. And then you restained it, right?
Yeah.
And you sanded it down and did that whole thing. Isn't that much more of a rewarding experience than going to IKEA?
Guess how much that coffee table was?
How much?
$10.
How much was the staining stuff?
Probably like $7 or $8.
Okay, so for under $20.
Yeah, I got a coffee table.
And a project.
It's nice. And a nice little project that I put together. And if I try to get like a wood shelf extending gizmo coffee table now at full price new, it would have been like a couple hundred bucks. So that to me is like a no-brainer.
Exactly. And that's one of the things of minimalism is saying like, hey, like I know what I need. Let me go to a cheaper place to find it before I start spending money on having someone else put it together and paint it and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. And it'll last.
Exactly.
That's solid wood right over there.
Yeah, and it's awesome. We use it all the time. Mm-hmm. We used it for our movie night on Friday. It's so many snacks. It was great.
It held so many snacks.
And I think there's a kind of counterpoint that people make to saving money. With minimalism, they say, okay, well, we live in a consumer world, so we need to be spending money all the time and stuff like that. The most minimalistic countries in the world, Japan, Sweden, Finland, Denmark, Iceland, where Emily and I just were, very minimalist in how they dress and decorate and shop and everything like that, have some of the happiest people in the world and the strongest economies because they have things like service industries as opposed to, hey, we're going to outsource and make all these things and then sell them. Mm-hmm. I think America in particular, Canada as well, in the UK, Australia, countries, a lot of English speaking countries put a lot of pressure on buying things and they say it's for the global economy. That's not necessarily true. You can have an amazing economy without having to sell stuff all the time.
That makes sense.
And then the better for the environment thing. Oh, I love it. I love the idea that tiny homes are becoming more of a thing. I love the idea that
Totally going to build.
Oh, 100%. The minute I have enough money, I'm a tiny house person. Like, and you can build a nice one. It doesn't have to be on wheels. It doesn't have to be really, really tiny. It can be a nice house that has like solar panels and stuff like that. If you're buying less, there's less factories that are going to be making things, less plastic, more recyclable products, less garbage, less wasting money on gas, less carbon emissions to go shopping. Malls use a lot of electricity and give off a lot of bad things that go into the environment. So I think it's better for the environment. And then just the fewer things you have, the less chaos your life is, the less chaotic your life is. And you feel a lot happier. And there's just a lot less going on.
You have systems for everything because you don't have that many things to organize.
Yeah.
I think that was another big thing for me with just like seeing the things that I have, what made me happy, and then getting rid of a lot of stuff. I was able to see like, oh, like all of those things were like crowding up this one drawer. Now I have this drawer for XYZ and I could kind of like reorganize where I wanted things to be. And now I know where everything is. It has a place and I can see it. Shout out Marie Kondo, which is a big thing for her. Like just the way that she's folding her clothes and putting them into drawers. Like you can see everything that you own at one time. It's way more satisfactory to see all the things that you have all in one place. So if your drawers are overflowing and you didn't know about that t-shirt that's been like tucked underneath everything for so long, maybe you have too much stuff and you should reorganize it so that you can see all of it and admire it and love it.
Absolutely. And then you know what you have and you know what you need.
Yeah.
I think that's another problem with like advertising too. Like you can't go through Instagram. You cannot go, you can't watch a YouTube video or even now it's on Facebook too. Like you can't do anything without a bunch of ads popping up. And it's like really disconcerting, but if you are comfortable with what you have and what you own, you don't feel like you have to be like, oh yeah, definitely I'll buy this Curology freaking face stuff.
Ads are everywhere.
And they mean nothing. They mean absolute poppycock. I have another question for you. We are both people who are present on Instagram.
Yes.
Do you find, this is something I asked my Instagram people yesterday. Do you find your friends and famous people that you follow, are they showing off more of like the, hey, I got the Gucci slides kind of thing? Or are they showing off more, hey, I went skydiving? Like, what do you find?
I find that the people that are on my social media are sharing their experiences, and the people who are like Instagram famous and like some LA dancers that I follow have a lot of like products that they're like sponsoring for.
Yeah.
And so like, I'm like thinking I'm going to be watching like a really talented dance video. And then at the end of it, it's like, oh, this was all focused on like, Fabletics,
yeah,
athletic wear.
Tooth whitening.
Oh, okay. Like I didn't realize I was watching an ad. So I feel like there's definitely more, people are more for the experiences that they want to share online. And then, you know, people who have the fame get targeted by advertising companies so that they can market their stuff to a wider audience, aka me.
And I did ask too, I put a little poll up on Instagram saying, what do you see more of on Instagram, the experience stuff or the material type things? And 83% of people said experiences to the 17% saying material stuff, which is a good thing, because I think when Instagram first started, it was very like, look at what I'm wearing and
yes.
brands. And I think now it's more like, there's this thing, it's like, I think it's called like vacation porn is the phrase, where it's like people going on crazy vacations and
yeah.
taking great pictures. And like, I know that I barely post on Instagram. I look at it a lot, but I barely post. But if I'm posting, it's from a concert or from someplace I've traveled.
Right.
So I think that that's a much more valuable thing to post.
Right.
I also asked people too, because minimalism gets a bad rap. I asked a lot of people what their definitions of minimalism are. I got a lot of funny answers, but a lot of them were consuming only what you need and what's important to you, spending your money on what you need and not what is excessive, having a lifestyle where materialistic things don't affect your happiness. Our friend Jess said rich people bullshit, which I really like. That's really funny to me because there's a sense of like, oh, you're a minimalist because you can afford everything. That's definitely a misconception, but also I know exactly what you're saying, Jess, so I'm with you there 100%. So I feel like it's, you know, a great thing to see, you know, more experience, or as our other friend Mirani would say, sandy asses, because that's all she sees this summer is Instagram posts of people, like, in the sand.
Yes.
And sand on their butts and stuff like that. I think that's much more valuable than seeing, you know.
Side tangent. Why do people wear bathing suits that don't cover all of the cheeks?
I don't know. Hopefully body positivity, but also booty. I'm hoping it's body positivity. I mean, I think
or like, is it like the fear of the tan line?
Oh, it might be that.
Like, do they want it to be even? I don't know. I feel like if I see like your whole butt cheek, like I'm going to feel like, oh no, like she's lost her bathing suit or has a terrible wedgie, but like it's a style now. I just don't know that I would feel comfortable rocking that.
To be fair, I haven't been to a beach in a long time. I mean, I live on one in Maine, but I don't like, I haven't been in a bathing suit since I was like 13. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, I don't do that. I don't do bathing suits. Maybe if I lost like 60 pounds. Maybe if I weighed like 90 pounds, I would do it. I don't understand it either. That's minimalism right there, right?
Is it?
Yeah.
Minimalism less in the material.
Less cloth.
Well, now
less
we're
coverage.
Now we're going towards like different kinds of like cultures here.
Yeah, that too. And I mean, I think certain cultures have different ways of showing off their bodies, which I think is awesome and great. I think the women who do that get it. Like, you're confident. Like, I could never.
Me neither.
Huge, huge, huge badonk. And I could never do it. I've been asked, but I would never.
Right.
So I think that's really funny, actually, now that you bring that up. So a lot of times when it comes to this type of minimalism stuff, it's about happiness and things that make you happy. I have a two-part question for you, Emily, and then I'll answer it if you want to hear my answer.
Okay.
What is your definition of happiness? And then what kind of product or thing makes you, like, intrinsically happy?
Oh, two-part question.
Mm-hmm.
I would say happiness is overall content feeling towards your lifestyle and the things that you involve in your life.
That's a great answer.
Maybe. Like,
content is a phenomenal word for
that. You know what I mean? Because, yeah, like, you're like, it's like a okayness. Like, you're not like over the top, like, my life is wonderful and I'm laughing all the time and I never get sad. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like everything's okay. Everything's peachy. That would be my definition of happiness. Something that brings me happiness that's a material thing would probably be my keyboard, because I can make music through it. And
I thought you meant like
with
my laptop.
Oh, just the keyboard of my laptop.
I just like to poke the button.
type.
You mean like a piano keyboard?
Yeah, like a musical keyboard. And that was definitely worth the investment, for sure.
It's linked to a passion of yours?
Yes.
To your, like, number one passion?
My passion, my hobby, my career,
mm-hmm,
of choice.
Yeah. Answer.
What about you?
What is
your definition of happiness?
Good question. I asked it, and I didn't think about it for myself for 1 second. I think I agree that content's a really good thing. I think just happiness is always having something to look forward to, even if it's small. For me, like, I'm looking forward to, I got a concert on Thursday. Me and
Yay!
My friend Majesty are going to see John Bellion. I'm so pumped. I've got 3 more concerts coming up in the fall. That's what I'm looking forward to. I've got some stuff going on back home that I'm looking forward to seeing family and trips I want to take. So I feel like happiness is always having something to look forward to and not worrying about all the crap that's going on now. Because
yeah,
I feel like even if we are happy in the moment, we're still going through a lot.
I think also I stress about future crap too.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're always like, oh, like, I got to meet this deadline. And that's like, why are we not enjoying this moment right now in time?
That's why meditation is so important.
Yes.
Yo, put on Planet Earth and then just listen to David Attenborough be like, the whale's here floating around. And then just be like, yeah, fuck yeah. And then just like meditate and deep breathing and recognizing you're in the moment, I think is super important. As far as my favorite product that brings me intrinsic happiness, Dr. Bronner's 18-in-1 all-purpose Castile soap.
Oh, yeah.
I'm obsessed with Dr. Bronner's.
Yes.
Okay, guys, first of all, I want nothing more than Dr. Bronner's to sponsor this show and give us money to talk about them.
That would be awesome.
I will work it in to every episode. Won't even
totally
have to be like
could.
A spot. I could make it a thing.
Mm.
Dr. Bronner's is the soap. It comes in like a million different scents. It's like $10, but it comes in this huge thing. You can wash your body with it. Brush your teeth with it. It tastes like soap, but you can brush your teeth with it. Wash your face with it. Shave with it. You can mop your floors with it. Clean your sink and your toilet with it. You can clean your dishes with it. You can wash your hair with it. You can use it to wash mirrors. It's a little streaky, but it'll like disinfect and everything like that. I use it for everything.
Wow, that's a lot of uses.
Everything. And there's way more uses than that too, but like I use it to wash, like, if I cut my fingers, which I do all the time because I have a job that deals with a lot of shattered glass. That's a really weird thing to say. Where do you work? At a company with a lot of shattered glass and broken screens.
Mysterious.
Broken screens, all these cuts on my hands. But I use Dr. Bronner's. I carry a small one with me. The peppermint scent is like the best one, but they also have unscented if you don't like perfumey stuff. It is hands down the best product in the world, and it's what I refer to as a catch-all product. The more catch-all products, meaning like all-purpose products that you have, the cleaner your life is and the more minimalistic it is. That's why, like, if I ever travel, Emily and I just traveled, I bring one pair of leggings and one pair of jeans and then like two different shirts, and you can mix and match because they all go together. So if you have a catch-all wardrobe where everything like looks good together, and like this goes with this and this and this and this and this, then it's just a lot. You can have fewer items, but also have a lot more options at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's one of those weird mind fucks where it's like, I have less things, right, but more things. Where am I?
And then you have less to stress about.
Yes.
I found that when we traveled together, I was just so tired of carrying my things with me. They were bulky, and I enjoy having multiple clothing options in case of weather changes or mood changes within myself. So part of me was like, oh yeah, like I'll just bring this back up just in case or whatever. And then just in case turned into like double the amount of outfits that I needed for our trip. And so it was like kind of frustrating to me because I was like, I just made all this extra work for myself to carry all of this crap around. Whereas you were kind of just like, I literally know that I have the things that I absolutely need and they all fit in this convenient backpack and I'm good. And yeah. I was like, oh, so like this would have been way easier on myself if I had just packed less.
On the other side of that point, though, you had things that I didn't think about. You brought a couple just-in-case items that I did not have.
Yeah.
Like, the thing with minimalism is, like, you have so few items that you do actually tend to forget things. Like, I straight up forgot toothbrush and toothpaste. I bought a toothbrush at Logan Airport.
Yes.
Which was, like, $18, apparently, for a mini toothbrush because airports. And then I was like, Emily, I need toothpaste. Or I could just... You know, I could always just put like mouthwash on my finger and brush it that way. Like I was totally chill with being like, I'll find a way to brush my teeth. I don't need a brush or toothpaste. Like I'll figure it out. But like, I didn't you think of all these simple things and then like, I forgot some stuff. And like, you know, there were definitely things. And like every time you travel, you learn.
Right.
Definitely certain things that I am like, okay, next time, you know, you don't have to.
I think it's hard to travel as a minimalist.
Yeah.
I think because... When you travel, you're always thinking of like, okay, what am I going to need in the future? You know, and that's like it's kind of like taking a leap of what you think is going to happen while you are traveling. Whereas if you are, you know, practicing minimalism at your apartment and you really are like, oh, wait, I forgot this one thing that I actually need. You can go to your local convenience store, pick it up, and then you're fine. But if you're like on an airplane and you don't have the thing, it's like, ooh, crap. Yeah. You know?
It's like, it all fit into my bag, but I forgot half of the things that I needed. And also, like, the other thing, I think a part of minimalism, too, I think there's a concern, especially as women, you know, men, it's easier to be a little bit more of a minimalist because you wear your black pants and your black shirt every day, and it's like, great, congratulations, Steve Jobs, you win. but, like, and it's just easier I in terms of society's way of looking at you because men can kind of dress a little bit more how they want. And a t-shirt and jeans will do it for pretty much any situation. Mm-hmm. And if they want to dress it up, they do a button down shirt and jeans and then they're good to go. Women, I think there's a little bit more, it's easier to look disheveled as a woman, I think. Mm-hmm. So a big part of me being a minimalist is that I don't really care what I look like.
Right.
I don't mean to sound flippant, but like it just in the sense, like when I teach and stuff like that, I wear black jeans, a t-shirt, and either a cardigan or like a jean jacket or something. I look, you know, I'm not trying to look like I'm better than my students because they're not that much younger than me and we're in college and it's a little bit more relaxed and like I'll curse in front of them and stuff like that. It's whatever. I rarely dress up. Like I didn't dress up for your birthday. Everyone dressed up for her birthday. No one told me. I wore like a nice shirt. And jeans.
Yeah, that's
fine. And
you
came out in a dress, and Kara was in a dress, and Sarah was in a dress.
I mean, it was my birthday, so I was like, what?
And Brantley was in a, like, button down and everything. I was like, guys, we're going to the freaking Cheesecake Factory. Like, I didn't think that we had to dress. I mean,
You know how white people feel about the Cheesecake Factory. It's an event.
It is an event.
You get dressed up.
I know, but I didn't, and then I felt bad. So there are those times where I'm a minimalist, and I'm like, shit. I don't have anything for this scenario, that's also a rarity. Like,
right.
I have, if I need a dress, I have a dress to wear to all of my functions that I have to go to. If I have the one Christmas sweater for the fucking ugly Christmas sweater party that we have every year at school and at work, and I always have a friend who has one, I'm like, great, I'm wearing the same one in all the pictures in all the different places. You don't need more than one.
No one remembers what your Christmas sweater looked like last year.
Exactly. Thinking about it now, I don't know what it says. I know it's red. That's about all I got.
There you go.
So, and it's in a drawer somewhere, and I keep it for this, like, one instance. If I had my druthers, I would wear dark navy jeans, white t-shirt, and either Vans or Birkenstocks, everything, and then have, like, one blazer, one jean jacket, one cardigan, one dress. Yes. Like, that's the life I want to live. Currently, I don't have that luxury, but that's the kind of, like, life that I would like to lead.
Remind me the name of the guy who does that awesome documentary.
Yes, Matt D'Avella. He is an incredible human being.
Matt, said something in that documentary that, popped into my mind, which was, if you don't like own the thing that you need for that event, he was saying how it brings up an experience for you to like, go over to your friend's house and say, hey, can I borrow that dress or whatever?
Yeah.
And so it prompts you to have a connection with somebody and just borrow it rather than buying it. Mm. And then you can just give it back. And then you're even closer with that person because of that experience. That's something that I just thought about when you were talking about your Cheesecake Factory experience.
And Emily and I, it's so weird. Emily and I have a sisterhood of the traveling pants scenario with some of our clothes because for those who don't know us personally or only know one of us, I'm 4'9" tall. And how tall are you?
I'm 5'7".
And she's 5'7". And she has longer legs.
I am all legs.
And I have a longer torso.
Yes, I have no torso.
I have ample buttocks and bosom. You don't not, but mine are just much bit, my, like, ample. not in a cute way. Like, they're big and it's annoying. but Emily and I have been able to... There are certain things that we can share. We've shared with each other, like in terms of clothing. So even if you have a friend who's like different height, different weight, different whatever, you most likely, there's like a shirt you can share. There's something that you can share, you know.
And then you don't have to go out and buy a certain outfit for each type of event that comes into your life. Because if you try and buy a new outfit for all these events that come up, you know, oh, it's like so-and-so's wedding. I need like a, you know, formal-ish dress. You're going to like be spending money on clothes that are just going to pile up because you want to look like you're wearing something new and different. It's just way better to borrow from somebody.
Yep.
Chances are they have something that you don't, and then you don't have to spend money.
And if you are wearing like the same thing to all these events and you know you look good in it, no harm.
Just
if
wear
you know
it.
You look
just
good,
wear it.
Roll up and they're like, "Oh, it's that girl in the black dress again." Yeah, and I look good in this dress, which is why I keep wearing it. I did not. The only dress that you should buy once and wear once is your wedding dress.
Yes.
That is it. And even then, I know people who have bought like a wedding dress and they either turned it into like a cocktail dress that they can wear or a shirt. Or they've done something with the fabric of it so that they can, or they're saving it for like a family member who's going to wear it, something like that. Like that's resourceful.
Yes.
Back to Matt D'Avella.
Yes.
Who, by the way, has a YouTube channel, which is probably one of the most influential things in terms of like the minimalist lifestyle. He's a filmmaker director. He lives with his now fiance, Natalie, I think her name is, who is this very spunky Australian girl who is not a minimalist by any means. The closet is hers. He has like one drawer.
Aww.
It's awesome. But they coexist really well and they've made videos about it. Like what's living with a non-minimalist like when you're a minimalist and vice versa.
Cool.
He also talks about like great ways to like organize and how minimalism as a lifestyle change is really good. And it's like not about having like one fork, one spoon, one knife. And like a protein juice once a day, and that's how I live. Like it's not like that. He's a filmmaker. He has film equipment.
Mm.
He has, you know, he has a lot of different, you know, things. He also does a podcast, so he has all of that equipment. So it's super important to know that like it's not just owning nothing. I mean, he talks about minimalism in the way he's like, I transitioned my life into this minimalist lifestyle. I paid off all my student loans. I was able to pursue my passion. I'm getting married soon. I live a very happy life. So it's not just about making money and having things,
right?
Or making money and having less. It's more so about finding the lifestyle that is suited for you and what you want and need and use, not just want.
Right. I think that's where him and Marie Kondo are very similar.
Yeah.
Because she's just very focused on only keeping the things that spark joy. And I think we can forget why we're holding on to things. And if they don't actually spark joy, then they're not necessarily serving a positive purpose for us, and we don't need them.
Yeah. Marie, I love Marie Kondo because she's about my size, but
she's
about,
so cute.
About 40 pounds thinner. And her, there's a picture on the internet, by the way. Look up Marie Kondo and her baby. Her baby's huge. Like, her baby's so big. Like, not just like in a baby way, but it's like a chubster baby. And she holds it, and it's the size of her torso.
Oh my
it's
gosh.
The funniest thing. She wears like doll clothes because she's so tiny. And then her kid is just like this like fat. It's so fat baby. I hate kids, but fat babies are one of the very few things where I'm like, all right, nice. Like, that's so funny cute. As shit. It's so cute. And it's just, it's been memed. It's a great meme. It's
little,
a great meme.
Little pudgies.
So yeah, that's kind of like our little overall kind of thing about minimalism. And it's a big part of both of our lives in different ways. And it's starting to become, a big thing on social media and stuff like that.
I think it's necessary to just consider it as an idea in the world that we live in right now, because people are like, oh, you know, like, you know, the younger generations are so, you know, sensitive and unhappy. And I think there's something to be said about, you know, the consumer lifestyle that surrounds us and what effect that has on our mental health. Just,
yeah,
food for thought.
And feeling like you need things to be special.
When
experiences and people are the things that make you feel special and important. So Gucci slides are not gonna solve all your problems. A new car.
But my Gucci flip flops.
By the way, I have no idea what Gucci slides look like. That's the other great thing about minimalism, is that I am completely severely ignorant to any brand name. A friend of mine, Will, like months and months ago, said Givenchy. I was like, what's that? No, it wasn't Givenchy. It was Balenciaga. Is it Balenciaga or Balenciaga with a B?
I think it's with a V.
It's with a V?
Mm-hmm. Balenciaga.
Balenciaga? I don't know what it is.
Anyway.
It's a brand that I had never heard of. And he was like, you've never heard of Balenciaga? I was like, dude, I heard of Vans as a shoe store like a year ago. Like, I am not tuned in at all. I hear these things in songs.
That's what I was going to say. It was like, I don't know that you listen to like really raunchy rap.
I do sometimes.
Oh, okay.
I do like Chance the Rap. I listen to like really chill rap, like Chance the Rapper and like Will Smith and Kendrick and very like R&B-esque type rap. Like there's a new song by Chance the Rapper called Slide Around. And he says, Salmon Gucci slides, slide around. And I'm like, great. That's the only nice thing I know about. In my head, I'm imagining Crocs. And he's just sliding around his house, like with his wife and daughter. Like, get it. But like, I don't know any of these brands. I know Givenchy because Meghan Markle got married in a Givenchy dress. And I'm obsessed with her. I'm obsessed with
her. She's great.
We're going to eventually get to like a celebrity culture, like Instagram culture kind of episode. And I have a lot of things to say about her. So I'll hold off. I love her. I love her. But yeah, and that Emily's doing a lot of funny hand motions right now.
I don't know why.
Just because she's portraying my love for Meghan Markle.
Yes.
But yeah, so that's kind of like our overarching kind of idea and conversation around minimalism. Emily, what are we talking about next week?
We're going to be talking about our personal routines and tips and thoughts and opinions about hygiene and beauty in general. So, you know, our day-to-day products and routines that we do that have worked for us, and things that we've picked up along the way.
And I think it's important to note too, this is not just going to be like some YouTube beauty tutorial kind of
shit. Right.
No, like we, like for everybody. Men and women, like hygiene stuff.
Overall hygiene.
Overall, like how to have healthy skin, how to have healthy hair. Are your hands dry? Let's figure out why.
Mm.
And we're definitely going to ask for like your best hygiene or like health tips and that kind of biology stuff on the Instagram.
Yes. So look out for that.
Look out for that. It is time for unsolicited song suggestion. And it is not that Chance the Rapper one that I brought up earlier, although that is a really good song. The song that I want to share is by George Taylor.
Mm.
It's called Roses. I showed it to you earlier this week.
You did.
It's real good. Oh, it's so good. I don't know anything about him. I don't know where he's from. He's a new kid. I think he's new in the game. You know, the game of music.
Yeah.
You know, the music game.
It's the game.
The industry.
Yeah.
He's new. You know the industry that you and I are a part of? You know, the game. He's kind of an on the rise kind of artist. And he did the song called Roses, which is beautiful. And it's got this very cool a cappella harmony kind of thing at the beginning. And then it gets into these very heavy beats. And it's, his voice is just insane. And yeah, it's a great one. It's a good one. And that's my unsolicited song suggestion, Roses by George Taylor.
Fantastic. Thank you guys for tuning in.
Thank you.
And we will see you. We won't see you. You will hear us next week.
You will hear us next week. All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye.